Do you love freedom? Do you love being clean? Then you'll love Hero Soap Company, made in the USA. Chemical and fragrance free. A portion of each purchase donated to veteran and first responder charities. Initial subscription purchase is matched bar for bar and sent overseas to deploy troops. Let freedom clean. Hero Soap Company.
Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Penny Bradley. Before I bring her on, just a couple of announcements. You can always get new episodes free on Rockfin, Odyssey, and all podcast platforms. Click the link in the description and check us out on Rockfin. This is where you get all our premium content, regular shows, and all the amazing content from every creator there on Rockfin. Check out the amazing new podcast by the Forbidden Knowledge Network. We've got some awesome new shows that we added this month. You can check them all out, all in one place, our website, forbiddenknowledge.news. You can click that link in the description, see what we got going on there. Today, I want to welcome back to the show Penny Bradley. She is survivor of CIA mind fracture and veteran of the space black ops. She exposes the tech and atrocities of those black ops. She is also a researcher of related topics and how they apply to today's world. Penny, welcome back. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. And you?
I am excellent. Yes, it's good to talk to you again. We were just talking about how well the last show went, and I really enjoyed it. And, you know, this topic is always one of the more controversial topics I cover, and that's the secret space program, and of course all the high strangeness surrounding it, MK Ultra, Illuminati bloodlines, off-planet operations, and a reality that's probably more like Star Wars than anyone can imagine. But it's controversial mainly, I believe, because there's very little physical evidence that can prove a lot of the information that comes out of this. And it comes down to each individual person's belief and willingness to do their own research. And based on my research, I believe it's highly possible that there is an extremely advanced breakaway civilization or civilizations involved with off-planet operations. But like I said, you know, do your own research, decide for yourself. I'd like to get your opinion on this. Do you think that the majority of people are ready to hear the information that's really true out there?
No, they're not. The majority of people want to be comfortable with their personal religious beliefs, and they would be just as happy if it were flat earth and we were under a dome. And that was really sad on my front whenever I figured that out. That's they want to believe that there's something friendly out there, but when you start telling them that it's 3D all the way and that there are beings that are in physical bodies and you can shoot them with a laser gun and they'll die, they start freaking out. I mean, I don't know why they're so upset when there are bears and lions, mountain lions, tigers, snakes, you know, things like that on Earth. It makes sense that there would be things like that in 3D space. And that some of them would be smart. It makes sense, but
yeah, it does.
They don't want to believe that.
Well, there's also this huge amount of misinformation and intentional disinformation coming out at this time because of this, you know, kind of disclosure movement that's going on in the front, in the public's view. But behind the scenes, there's, I'm sure, plenty of nefarious things going on and plenty of things going on to confuse the people and keep most people off of the wrong track, because this topic is, it's so multi-layered and multifaceted and hard to understand to begin with. When you add this level of misinformation and disinformation coming out of these agents that are intentionally put into this community, man, mm-hmm. it's like trying to sift through a bunch of BS, and it gets really hard to find the truth. So I think maybe a good place for us to start today would be the physical 3D aspects that people, you know, do talk about in the mainstream, the sex abuse cults, the missing children, things of that nature that people can kind of see evidence of. But this is like the surface level of all the, of everything that goes much deeper and much more nefarious and more multi-leveled after that. So when it comes to, you know, child abductions and things of that nature, where the program starts, how are people usually selected and targeted to be part of these MK Ultra programs, basically?
Okay, they have kept lists of bloodline families for thousands of years. The Vatican has lists. The Freemasons have lists of various royal houses throughout history have kept lists, and the lists include the younger kids. Okay, when you have a king and queen, if they like each other, and these are the days before birth control, if they like each other, they could end up with 20 kids. Now, they might only have royal jobs for the first three. What happens to those other 17 kids? Okay. If it's a good king, good parent, he will train his sons in trades where they will become middle class, but they'll have a way to support themselves and they'll carry on. If, his daughters, he's going to try to marry them off to merchants where they'll be supported. Now, if he's not a good parent, or if he dies while they're still young, a lot of them got killed off because they were a threat to the throne of whoever inherited. And in some of these families, there would literally be wars between first, second, and third sons over who was going to inherit the throne. So, you know, if you're one of the top three and you're going to war for your throne and you've got number six over here being a pain, you're going to kill that kid. Okay, this is reality, 3D real history. European history is full of younger kids being cast off. An older child, a firstborn, especially if it was a girl, would often be sent out with a soldier or a servant to be killed because they wanted their firstborn to be a boy. And if you look at the fairy tales, they're full of references to this practice, but where the servant person would feel sorry for the kid and raise it as their own. So not all of those kids were killed, but the records were kept as to who they were and where they ended up. So you have complete bloodlines, even of peasants who are of royal blood.
Now, that makes sense.
Those are the people being targeted for these programs.
Now, I'm sure because, that there's...
Because they have those genetics, but they don't have any money or power. So if something happens to them, pardon my cussing, but nobody gives a shit.
Now, you were talking about the different levels of people that are groomed for this. You know, some may have just, a regular mid-level life. But for those that are in the elite circles, it seems that, the more power or money some of these individuals have, the more psychotic they are, the less empathy and human feeling that they have. I would think that there is a level of grooming for that, right?
They are subjected to the same techniques that are used on us. All of the MK Ultra stuff, they use it on their own kids. So they start off as empaths. They're very psychic. They're telepathic. They feel everything around them, and they're put through exactly the same training that I was, so that they will stop empathizing with the people they have to, they call it supervise. So it's to make them where they can do the job, because they're born too empathic.
Now, are there children born outside of these bloodlines that may have these abilities and they somehow get on the radar and they are recruited into this, even though they aren't part of a bloodline? Does that happen?
That doesn't happen very often. Now, there are people with abilities that are not in the traditional European bloodline. Okay, any culture that practices magic and it works, those people are targeted, because it's the genetic basis for magic is what they're looking for. They're looking for the genetics, the DNA sequences that give you telepathy, empathy, the ability to manifest things, the ability to read other people and see what they are at their soul level. Those are the kinds of things they're looking for. Because when you get out into space and you're sitting across the table from a 3D being who's three times as tall as you are and can tiptoe into your mind and read every thought you've ever had, those people have at least a foot in the door, and the rest of us don't. So, now, what they told me is that when, okay, they call them the parents, and they describe them as Anunnaki, but they call them Draco. I'm not sure that they actually are Draco, because I've seen Draco in space, and the drawings they gave me had nothing to do with reptilians. Okay, so the terminology being used by different classes are not the same words. Okay. So now the parents are a superior species. Now, some people think they're ETs. Some people think they're interdimensionals. Some people think they're physical beings who live in inner earth. And I've gotten a different story out of each one that's talked to me. So This is okay. Basically, the Anunnaki of Sumer are who they're describing. And there are a couple of other species involved, that some of them are like minotaurs with a bull's head and a human body. and some of them are more reptilian. There's a version of a reptilian that shows up periodically in history. Melusina is one of them, and they're like a human torso on multiple snakes' bodies. And you can see that in the ancient art. I can send you the photo, the drawings.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be
great. I can send you the art. But I've collected it up because I do a how we got here kind of hit story for one of my presentations. But those genetic abilities came from the parents. Mm-hmm. Now, what they, okay, the story I was told goes that the parents cannot breathe nitrogen in the air, that it makes them really sick and cuts their lifespan by down to a third of what it would be off Earth. So they had to have a worker that could breathe the air. And there was an animal here that was becoming sentient, and it had compassion for other physical species. In fact, they caught them opening cages to release animals that they had caught. So that was the animal that they chose to be the base for us. And that they had like 20 different variations, and they finally settled on one they called the Adamu. And that's your basic Homo sapien. And once they had a stable pair where they could have babies, because that had been a problem in some of the priors, they immediately made a hybrid between Homo sapiens and themselves, the parents. So this middle ground are the folks that became the elites. And over the years, because they've cast off the younger kids and blah, 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 we've ended up with the middle class, who are hybrids of the two. And you can look at people, and if you know what to look for, you can tell which one they are. That the rudest way is Homo sapien is never over 120 IQ. And the ruling classes are never below 140. So IQ is the dividing point. Also, the upper classes have psychic abilities like you cannot imagine. The more pure blood they are, the closer they are to ET abilities. And I was modified by the agency that took me. So I have some outrageous psychic abilities, and some of these people can walk through my shielding, come into my head, present an entire dialogue, and I cannot kick them out. They only leave because they want to. This is the level of ability I'm talking about. Okay? No. I have shielding that most people, when they come up to me, they hit the mirrored shielding, they see themselves in the mirror, they think they've read me, and they go on. You know, that's my normal. But these people, they can just walk right in, do whatever they want, leave, and I cannot do anything about it. And they're on the level of the Anunnaki. And yes, I've been abducted by the Anunnaki, so I know what they're capable of.
Well, while we're talking about these beings and the Anunnaki, let's talk about the hierarchy here. Starting at the bottom, who, and, you know, mainly non-human entities, of course. You mentioned the parents, which seem like type of like a hybrid, right?
No, the parents are I would call them Anunnaki. I would call them extraterrestrials. What we've got are Homo sapiens. And most Homo sapiens at this point have been given the illusion that their vote matters, that they have a say in how they run their lives. They've been given the illusion of free will. But you can look all around and see you really don't. Then you have the middle class who runs a lot of the service industries. They run your local market. They provide food. They provide clothing, you know, for money. So in the old days, it would be barter, and they would get crops or chickens or whatever in payment. And now they're getting cash, or actually they're getting digits in a computer file. So, okay, over them, you have the elites. And the elites are also in a hierarchy. There are layers to them. There's the ones that are, if you know their name, they're servants, just like the rest of us. So by the time you get to the election stage, everybody that's still running is acceptable to the layer above them. So that's why I don't personally get involved in political campaigns or who's going to be president or even who my local Congress critter is, because your vote doesn't matter. And all that matters is who counts the votes. And that's a really difficult concept to get across to people. But, you know, it is what it is. So you have the elected people. And then you have the folks who run the big companies. Okay, those people are above them. Then you start getting into the power brokers. That would be your Rothschilds and your Rockefellers and your major bankers, the folks who run Deutsche Bank, those kind of people. You know, the people who are the funders of everything. Then there's a group beyond them, and I'm not even going to use their name because people have been killed for looking for them, and I don't want to encourage that. Okay, I'm trying to keep people from being killed. That's my whole goal. You know, stop the abductions, stop the killings. This is my goal. So I'm not going to name this group. Yes, I do know who they are. Yes, they have contacted and threatened me. So, yeah, I did not go looking for them. But they are the folks behind the scenes who have the plans that extend out over 200-300 years. Okay, so all of human history is played out in a story arc that is multi-generational, and they live longer than we do at that level. Okay, where a Homo sapien. Up until the 1950s, they were doing good if they made it to 50. Seriously. These folks were living over 100 years. So they live longer than we do, and they have this story arc that they have plotted out, and they know what they're going to be doing at any given time because they have the story already written. And then above them, you start having people who are actually interacting with the parents, who are, some of them are still here. The Anunnaki that we know historically as Marduk, he never left Earth. He was born here. He was an asshole. They didn't want him wherever it is that they live, so they left him here, along with the people who serve him. So, nice to know that they don't even tolerate assholes all the time. But, yeah. But yeah, they have their own agenda. And okay. To describe this in terms folks understand. Homo sapiens are the people who live in the town, work the fields. The middle class and elected folks are the people who run the town. The folks who run the businesses, the big businesses, they're like the folks who run the county. When you start getting into the folks who interact with the parents and the parents themselves, now you're dealing with the state. Then the Anunnaki are, okay, the ETs that I know as Anunnaki are a subject race of the ETs I know as Draco. So the feds would be the Draco. And then over the feds is the Galactic Authority, which is the government of the galaxy. And they have basic rules on how to interact, and they have a very black and white view of justice. You break the law, they kill you. That's their whole thing. So they have basic rules. You break them, you're dead. That's how they get all these different races to get along. And I keep hearing people calling a Galactic Federation of Light. And there is no such thing in the space that I experienced. There is a Galactic Authority that is basically worlds in the core, and they have a court system where they try criminal offenses, and they have a military police that are the guardians. And if the guardians show up in orbit near a planet, you'd best be humble, polite, and scared, because they have destroyed worlds that gave them a hard time.
Now, would you say that there are benevolent beings, or beings that may have our best interest in mind, involved at some of the not only off-planet levels, but here on Earth?
I keep being asked about benevolent. The agency that I served under defined benevolent as they don't eat us.
Wow, that's comforting.
So, you know, I you know, it's kind of a, in some ways, it's like the Old West out there.
Yeah.
There are a lot of folks out there that are not friendly. There are a lot of folks that are defending their territory. There are folks that are so smart that they consider us. I got this picture in my head from one of the guardians trying to show me something. You know, pretend you own a ranch and part of that ranch is forest, jungle. And you have monkeys in your forest. And you notice that the monkeys are starting to build houses. And then they're farming. And then they're building cars. That's how they see us. We're the monkeys. So it's kind of difficult to get most people to understand that, because our religions have taught us that we're the pinnacle of creation and that we're dominant and everything belongs to us. And 3D reality is that's not true. We're the monkeys in the forest that started building houses. So my experience out there is that humans in all of the factions tend to be taken advantage of. There are a lot of folks out there who don't think we deserve Earth. And the only reason they have not invaded is because the Guardians have protected us. They consider us to be a child race. And once we are of age, we will be responsible for the crimes we've committed out there. So these folks who want to get rid of the protectorate status, they need to really rethink that. Because right now we're basically in foster care. And do you really want to go to adult prison?
Right.
Because we've committed some really nasty things out there. And to the physical beings out in space, they see no reason to have mercy on us.
Well, I want to get to the spiritual aspects of this, because I don't think we've really gotten to this yet. You know, the non-physical, what lies beyond these beings. And you mentioned, you know, how they picking magical families earlier, or families that are involved with magic through these bloodlines. I want to go over the spiritual aspects, both good and bad, starting with the bad, because, you know, that's what we started with earlier, and maybe bring it towards the light. But when it comes to these families and their practices, the occult practices, there's a lot of confusion behind this. Nobody that I've spoken to really knows what they're practicing, what kind of occult entities and deities they're worshiping. Is it Satanism? Is it something older? Is it a combination of things?
It's older.
Yeah, that's what I figured. On the darker side, what are they doing? What kind of occult
what they are
practices?
Doing is they are accountable to the parent that has control of their particular bloodline. Now, some of those are Anunnaki, some of those are from Taurus and resemble Minotaurs, some of them are other beings. They are old god religions that are bloody and require human sacrifices. And these families are being put into the position of, if they do not choose a child to sacrifice, that one will be chosen from them. Now, if your God showed up in your house and took your baby, you'd pretty much think that was a real thing, wouldn't you?
Right.
That's the position these people are in. Now, the more I found out about talking to them, the more actual sympathy I've had for them, because they're in an untenable position. Most of us have never interacted with a deity of any kind. Most of us have never interacted with an extraterrestrial. A few of us have interacted with what they call demons, but they're relatively easy to get rid of. None of us have had a God show up in our house and take our kid and still expect us to obey them. So this is their reality. And they have a very strict calendar of things they are supposed to do.
So these gods are just extremely powerful celestial entities?
They're really powerful extraterrestrials. They're not from other dimensions. They're not from hell. They're not from heaven. They're from another planet. And because it's in the sky, they're calling it heaven. So the gods are 3D beings, just like we are. And when I realized that, it was like, okay, I believe there might actually be a creator being, but it's not what's in any of these books. So I stopped worrying about it. I was raised Church of Christ Andy. Now, some of you guys will know what that is. Some of you guys will know them better as Campbellites. But that's what I was raised. I went to seminary. I converted to the Episcopal Church, where they put me through 104 exorcisms because I had altars. Funny how scars from trauma become demons in the hands of people who are fearful. So that's my personal why I really don't like to go into the spiritual side, is because I've been abused by Christians over it. Okay?
Right.
Now, my grandmother was Jewish. Jewish people have always treated me well. I went to San Diego State with Muslim people from the Middle East. They've always treated me well. It's Christians who have abused me. My initial stuff was with the CIA, I thought. Now, you mentioned at the beginning that we don't have any kind of physical proof. Mm. I had the data entry clerk at the CIA who uploaded my personal case file into the CIA archive computer come forward. And we did a 2-hour show where we went through bit by bit of what I remembered and whether or not it was in my case file. That's as close to physical proof as I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. So I have been verified by the data entry clerk who uploaded my file. That's important for people to understand.
Is this person still involved with the CIA?
No. But I know she was a real CIA employee, because she sued them for racial discrimination under President Reagan, and it went to the Supreme Court, and she won.
Oh, wow.
There's a historical record of her.
That's great.
So.
Yeah. Now, to kind of end on the spiritual aspects of this, what is your... understanding or perception of what an angel is. Is this a non-physical being, or do they exist to your knowledge?
Angels exist as non-physical beings. A lot of things that we describe in different religions exist as non-physical beings. When I was in the programs, we had different terms defined. An extraterrestrial was a physical being who got here through a physical technology, either a portal tech or a ship, and you could kill it with a weapon. An interdimensional might be able to manifest a physical body, but they had to work at it. They were not naturally in one, and they got here through non-physical tech, somehow shifting dimensions. And you cannot kill them. And then there's another category that we call the plasmoid. It's made up of smoke or vapors, and it can manifest a physical form for half hour to an hour. And it requires so much energy that it just sort of dissipates after that. But they are actually physically here on Earth. They're not interdimensionals or from elsewhere. They're actually here. And those are the three categories of beings that we generally interacted with. Now, interdimensionals, those are beings from other frequencies. And then you're starting to get into, I'm probably going to blow her name, Ashana Dean.
Yes. Yeah.
She's done a lot of work. And to be honest, most of the people in SSP and Super Soldiers are blatantly plagiarizing her work. Oh. So I could never get through it. I would start reading it and my eyes would glaze over. But I've read enough of it to recognize it in my peers. My job in Nachtwaffen, the German space program, I was a navigator, because I could take physical objects into hyperspace with me and bring them out safely with people or organic things, not in inorganics. Okay. Description. Example. Philadelphia experiment, the USS Eldridge. Everybody has heard about the sailors being stuck in the bulkheads and the tarmac. Yeah. Okay. My job was to prevent that. Okay, the Philadelphia experiment, they had a hyperspace drive. They did not understand that it required a navigator. So you have to have someone who can separate things when you come back out of hyperspace. So this was what I was DNA modified to do.
Are you still actively involved with these programs today? Do you know?
Yes.
And what's the best evidence that you know that you're still doing this?
2.5 years ago, I was pulled up for a mission, and I went and did the mission, and time missing was about 2 years. And I mean, time on Earth, it was like I was never gone, because they have time. If you have hyperspace drive, you have time travel. That's the short version. But my elapsed time while I was gone was 2 years. On the way back, there were three guys in black fatigues, no markings. They told me they were CIA. They may not have been. And they said, we're tired of you talking. We're tired of you badmouthing us. And we know we haven't been able to kill you. We haven't figured out why, but we know we can make you hurt. So two of them held my body still while the third one broke my shoulder. That was June 25th, 2019. I had surgery October 15th, 2019. 4 hours to rebuild that shoulder. It's only the last 3 or 4 months I can actually dress myself, use buttons, tie an apron in the back. They munched it pretty bad. The doctor kept looking askance at my partner because they assumed he had done it and I was just covering for him. But no, it was three guys in black fatigues. So I have a physical injury, and what I remember is these guys doing it. So that is my physical proof that not only am I still being taken, but I'm being taken physically. It's not a consciousness thing.
Now, have you been part of any programs like I've heard of the 20 and back or things of that nature?
I have done 90, 60 and backs with the Germans. I've done 45, 60, no, 20 and backs. 45, 20 and backs with a group called Kruger, which is a mercenary group of super soldiers in space. They're American. I've done enough missions for the CIA that I have a confirmed kill rate of 537 confirmed kills in Latin America. Not all of my missions are off-world. So I have the 13 by 13 by 13 cubic array of altars. And about half of them just store trauma, and the other half are actually in use. And I have no idea what most of them are used for. I've reintegrated 32, and I've got another dozen that I have bleed over with. There are probably 20 people out there public who have memory of me in their service. Some of them good, some of them bad. I have personal memory of about five of them. So if that kind of witness testimony matters, then others have seen me out there. I have an ongoing mission where the Guardians told the Germans to evacuate a planet and move those people back to the solar system. And the Germans basically said, F you. So the Guardians blew up the planet. Well, if you have hyperspace drive, you have time travel. So we were using time travel to rescue the colonists. And I'm doing a 60 and back doing that. and I have a lot of bleed over with that one.
Now, you're not supposed to remember this stuff, right?
No, I'm not supposed to remember any of it. Mm-hmm. But an NSA group, for reasons of their own that they didn't bother to share with me, okay? So I have no idea what their motive was. But in 2013, this NSA group decided to activate my memories. And they used my remember code from my initial mind fracture. And since then, I get an alter and a lump. And I'll start to figure out what I'm remembering. And then I'll get the next one. And I've reintegrated 32 of those. So it's like having the more of them that I reintegrate, the more complete my memory is. But I've still got some pretty good sized gaps. That's one thing about having alters is you have missing time because the other alters were active then. And they have the memory. I don't. So piecing together what happened. This isn't an easy way to live. You know, I've lived with Lou for 20 years. We recently had in May, we had our 20 years living together. And I will still wake up in the morning and I'll get up and I'll get a cup of coffee and I'll sit down and I'll realize several hours have passed and I'll just quietly say, good morning. And I can hear him go, I have no idea what came out of my mouth during that missing time, but he's obviously relieved it's me again. So he has told me that one of my alters is such a bitch that if she were a man, he would have hit her more than once. Oh. So, yeah.
Now, for the last few minutes that we have, I want to get into kind of like the bigger picture of what is behind our current global dystopian situation here. Because, you know, for the longest time, I've had this gut feeling that we were living in very prophetic times and things probably aren't going to get any better anytime soon. And without using any words that would probably get us banned today, based on your experiences and everything that you've researched and come to know about the bigger picture behind the scenes, what are they doing right now? What is it depopulation? Is it trying to bring in their own, type of new world order, like many people are theorizing right now? Or is it something that nobody knows? What do you think is going on behind the scenes to usher in this kind of new world that we're living in right now?
Okay, when I was out in space with the Germans, they put me in Schule, their version of school. And they said that every population will become telepathic, like a hive mind, at a certain population density, and that for Earth, for humans, that's between 9 and 10 billion people, which we are quickly approaching. And the population will become uncontrollable at that point because you won't be able to hide anything from them. So they have to reduce the population before we reach that point. There are a lot of people becoming telepathic already. It's not a one all at once. It's, you know, those who are closest will start first. And we're in the closest starting first stage. So they have a motive. They will lose control over the masses if they don't reduce the population. Secondly, they claim we have reached carrying capacity, which means that Okay. Prey animals will eat themselves out of house and home. And since we no longer have an official predator who can control our populations, we used to have bears and wolves and tigers and lions, and we've pretty much controlled all of them to the point where we are now the apex predator, and there's nothing to control us except loss of food. So they are artificially reducing our population. Now, if you've been paying attention over the last 100 years, you will find that the food's poisoned, the air is poisoned, the water's poisoned, the medication doesn't work or is poison itself. Most of what we've been taught has nothing to do with personal survival. That you take one of these young 20 somethings, and I have no problem with kids, okay? I'm in my 60s, I'm looking at these kids, and I blame the education system. I do not blame the kids. Kids are no more stupid than they've ever been, okay? But they can't work on a car. They can't fix electricals in their house. They don't know how to cook anymore. They don't know how to garden. They can't sew. If power went out, they don't even know what to gather to have a fire, if they had a fireplace in their house. Survival skills are gone. They don't know how to store food safely without an electric refrigerator. They don't know how to cook with, even, you know, if the grocery stores ran out of food today, in a week, they would be going house to house like a pack of ravening hyenas looking for anything they could eat. And within 2 weeks, they're going to be eating each other, simply because they don't know how to survive otherwise. Okay, this is deliberate. How do you make a population die? You start poisoning them. You don't teach the children how to survive. You take education out of the hands of the parents and you put it into the hands of the government. And then you tell them a bunch of lies. Okay? This is the major stuff. The stuff that would get us kicked offline, those are just details. Those are the particular bombs they're going to set off. Mm. Okay. Now, I posted an article last night, about the robots with the guns on them. They are basically exactly what was in Dark Mirror, their episode about the robot dogs.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to be hunting the stragglers. So how are you going to deal with you have no food, you have no water, you have no electricity, there's no more internet, and you've got a robot dog after you? That's the dystopian future that I see. And we have to get through that before anything else can be dealt with. And people are focusing in too tightly on details of the picture. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here going, the big picture is so outrageous that I don't see a lot of room for escape. Now, I was told by one of these guys at the level of the bankers that they are creating a new race. Now, that's a religious concept from Hinduism, that every so often there's a new race. And you can see it in Greek mythology, and you can see it in Mayan mythology. Every so many thousand years, there's a new race. And my understanding is that they are creating a new one and eliminating the competition, and that it will probably be telepathic from the get-go. So it's like Homo sapiens 0.2. So, and I'm to the point of, you know.
Well, so
I see. That seems like I don't see any. I don't see any hope.
That's what I was going to say. I don't see, this seems like a bleak future, and I love to give my audience, you know, a little bit of a glimmer of hope when they try to see what's really going on in this stuff. But, you know, I don't know. Do you think that, you know, with everything that, you know, people are realizing right now and awakening to, I've seen a huge influx of people that have completely shifted from a, you know, sleeping position to, you know, they're upright and they want to do something about it and they're ready. I mean, it goes both ways. I've also seen people just fall deeper into slumber too. So, you know, I don't know. Well, I would hope that there could be a chance.
What I've been trying to get people to do is to learn the technology that our ancestors used in the 1700s and 1800s. How to grow food, how to filter water, how to store food without electricity, how to heat their homes, how to be efficient and be off the grid. That's the best advice I can give you, is learn to be off the grid. Now, that isn't foolproof, because this satellite network that Elon Musk is putting up, that can track people by your personal frequency. They don't even have to chip you anymore. So it's going to be really hard to hide from them. But there are ways. Faraday cages will block most of that. Faraday cages is an 1800s kind of technology. At the very beginning of the electric age, they learned to block these things using copper netting. Now, we have to start remembering some of these technologies. And you can't trust rainwater anymore, because there's so much glyphosate in that. So you have to learn to filter the water that you drink, filter the water that you use to raise your crops, because glyphosate will kill your garden. So there's a lot of detail that goes into it, but the basics are what's going to save you or not. Knowing how to survive without the modern technology, so that you can escape off grid and not be caught.
Yeah, I'd have to agree that is probably some of the best advice we can give people right now, just to be prepared for anything and everything that coming, because, man, our future is quite unsure at this point. But Penny, thank you so much for coming on. Extremely important information for people to have. And if people would like to find out more about you, and I know you do a talk show as well, let them know how they can do so.
Okay. I have a radio show on Global Enlightenment Radio Network, and the website is www.gern-radio.com. And I have my show archive is on my YouTube, which is Penny Bradley Nachtwaffen Pilot. You can find it that way. And I have a website. It's a forumware website, and my IT partner and I don't have ads on it. We've been paying for it out of pocket or with donations. So we're not beholden to anyone. And so far we've blocked Google. So it's www.spaceportals.net. And because we're paying for it out of pocket, we couldn't afford all the software for all the different phones. So when you first register, it needs to be from a computer. After that, you can use a phone.
Great. Awesome stuff, Penny. Thank you so much for coming on. Definitely love to keep in touch and have you back on in the future to get some updates in our dystopian reality here.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Of course. Yes. Always a great conversation. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening. And I believe we'll be talking again tomorrow for a special show, but that's a surprise. But we will talk then.